When you need to work quickly and confidently across different apps and platforms, consistent quality communication is key. Whether you're writing documents, emails, or presentations, you need Grammarly. It's an AI writing partner that helps you get your work done faster with better writing. It's always there to help because it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can get more done no matter where you're writing. Grammarly is the gold standard of responsible AI, trusted by millions of professionals for 15 years. It gives you personalized writing suggestions based on your audience, goals, and context, plus tone suggestions to help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Wednesday, July 24th, 2024. On today's episode of the show, we are going to gather around the virtual water cooler and talk about what we've been up to. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film editor BJ Colangelo.
Hi, hi, hiya.
BJ, welcome back to the podcast and welcome back to California. You were actually out here sort of close-ish to my neck of the woods in Florida for a little bit of a trip recently. Tell me about that.
All right. So we'll start with the good because I want to open on a high note. The good is that I got to go to Florida and I saw my parents. It was the first time I've seen them in person in 4 years. It was also the first time that my sister and I and my parents were all in the same place in 7 years.
Wow.
Pandemic, we live in three different time zones and we're all poor. It's difficult to get us all in the same place at the same time. So that was absolutely incredible. There was a surprise anniversary party thrown for my parents. So then a bunch of their friends from Chicago, because that's where we're originally from, they also flew down to celebrate and surprise them. It was great. My dad cried, which is amazing because, as I've said in the show before, my dad looks like Joe Pesci. So like, picture Joe Pesci crying, you got it. That's what we're dealing with here. So it was really, really wonderful. What was wild was being at that party when Donald Trump was almost assassinated and everybody there is just a drunk boomer going, what happened? So, you know, fun experience that I'll never forget. But the bad part is that I don't know if any of our listeners have been traveling recently, but airlines right now are a disaster, to put it nicely. And both my flights to Florida and my flights home from Florida were atrocious. Like, it was getting to like planes, trains, and automobiles levels of terrible. I was so miserable the entire time. My flight home from Florida to Chicago was delayed. My flight from Chicago to Los Angeles was delayed, and then they put us on the plane, and then we were delayed for 2 hours and 45 minutes because at 3 hours they make you deplane, so they made it under the wire. But that did mean that I was on an airplane for like 7 hours to get home, and I am not a small person. I was very uncomfortable and very hot and very grouchy, and in both instances my plane didn't land until like 1 a.m., which meant that my ride share from the airport was very expensive when it did not need to be. I don't want to fly ever again, but that's not how the world works, and I'll probably be doing it in like 2 months.
Yeah, my wife recently traveled, and she had a very similar experience where it was just delays and delays and cancellations and nonsense. And she ended up having to take a red eye when she should have left at like 11 a.m. or something like that and didn't get back until I think she was traveling for something like, I don't remember exactly, 23 hours or something, when it should have just been like a normal afternoon. So yeah, just a nightmare scenario out there.
Yeah.
And you didn't even have to deal with like the CrowdStrike outage. I think you made it back before mm-hmm. that too. Like there's still people out there right now, I think, who are like delayed from days ago when that whole nightmare happened. So
yeah, I got very, very lucky. I was in between Hurricane Beryl and then the tech issues and the strike and like all of that going on. So it still sucked. I don't know what else to say. Like, even in opportune circumstances, it still blows.
Yeah. I think we've basically just sort of like resigned ourselves to the reality that like something terrible is going to happen anytime you get on a plane. There's just like no way around it right now. It just seems like unless there's some sort of major overhaul of the entire system, it just kind of seems like, well, you just got to build in the fact that like you're probably going to be miserable one way or the other and like maybe even miss an entire day of whatever it was that you're planning on doing, which is like not an ideal scenario, but
not great.
I'm glad that you're safe at least, BJ. So
thank you. I am too.
Okay, so what have you been reading recently? I'm still in the middle of reading this big Hollywood, oral history of Hollywood book, so I'll talk about that one day, I promise, but I'm still like, I don't know, a couple hundred pages away from being done with that. But what have you been reading recently?
So I recently got my hands on a copy of Scott Kenamore's latest book, Edge of the Wire. Scott Kenamore writes a lot of genre books. My two favorites are Zombie Illinois and Zombie Ohio, which are both, you know, zombie stories, but specifically what happened in the apocalypse in these different states. I think at one point there was the intention that he would eventually do one for each state, but that obviously did not happen. But I really like him as a writer. He's a Chicago writer. I've been following his work since I was like 19. He was like one of the very first book reviews I did when I first started writing about horror as a teenager was one of his books.
Oh, cool.
Which is like kind of nice. So he reached out and was like, hey, you've always been a fan. Do you want my new book? And I was like, I do want your new book. But it's called Edge of the Wire, and it is a sci-fi thriller, and it's about, you know, our dependence on the internet, technology, and AI. And it's about like a group of like space people. They're called silkworms, but they're sent to a planet, and the goal is they're going to rewire this planet and incorporate it with this like all-knowing system of AI that they call the goo. And it's set so far in the future that like remembering a time before the goo is like kind of non-existent, because it's not just like generative AI, but it's like anticipatory. So it knows exactly what you want and it makes decisions for you. Obviously saying it out loud, you can already hear like how this would be bad. And then one of the crew members of the silkworms discovers like through investigating this planet, like of what the time was like before the goo, and is like, maybe the goo is not so good. Maybe we should not be, you know, worshiping the goo and we should be doing something else. But of course, the goo does not like that. So that is what it's about. It's a fiction book, but it's really cool. It feels kind of like one of those stories that a streamer would like latch onto and be like, we're going to make a like a mini series out of it, which I think would be very cool. I think of all of the books he's written, this is the one that feels most ripe for adaptation. So I don't know, check it out. If you like sci-fi thrillers and want to think about how AI is really bad for us, this is a good way to do it.
Okay, the book is called Edge of the Wire. Do you know if it's like officially out yet or if it's going to be out pretty soon?
Yeah, it's out. So like people can check it out. You can, you know, always support your local bookstores, but yeah, it's out.
Awesome. Yeah, it sounds like an Apple TV Plus show because they're
That was my thought.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Maybe they'll make that happen. All right, let's get into what we've been watching recently. Brad sort of pushed me to watch The Devil Wears Prada. He mentioned this on a recent episode of the show that was one of his, I think he called it one of his comfort movies or something. He watches that movie a lot, and I had mentioned that I'd never seen it, and his reaction was enough to finally convince me to finally watch it. I've been trying to watch it for a while and just never really found the right time, but I sat down with my wife to watch this movie. She'd seen it before. I'd never seen it. I understand why people dig this movie. It's very fun to see Anne Hathaway.
Ben, you're killing me.
It's fun to see Anne Hathaway dressed in tons of amazing clothes. And Meryl Streep's character, Miranda Priestly, is this villain who has a little bit more complexity to her than it initially appears. I thought Stanley Tucci is terrific. But this is like an extremely 2006 movie in one very specific way. There's lots of talk about Anne Hathaway's character being fat, which is pretty bonkers and setting like a cultural standard that is downright unachievable for normal people to live up to. It's really kind of objectively insane. So that was weird. I mean, again, I try not to judge movies made in different times by our cultural standards now, but like it just jumped out as being like such a weird thing.
Listen, I was around in 2006 as a fat person. I remember people calling Jessica Simpson Jumbo Jessica for wearing a size 6. I get it.
yeah, just really weird stuff. I feel like I would have liked to have seen Anne Hathaway's character actually be able to gain a few tactile skills or contacts for the journalism career that she wants while she is temporarily working for Miranda at this fashion magazine. It kind of would have made her arc feel more fulfilling to me than sort of like what we get in the movie, which is basically just like, well, I learned a lot about fashion. I earned some self-confidence because I kind of pushed myself to thrive in this hellhole job. And I was okay with walking away from it all after seeing how horribly Miranda treated Stanley Tucci's character. And that was kind of like the big lesson learned at the end of this movie. And I feel like I would have found the whole thing a little bit more satisfying if I could have ended that story knowing that like this was all worth it in a more tangible way for this character, because she like alienates her entire social circle by working at this job. And it's a job that she doesn't really want and doesn't really have like a direct line to what she wants to even do in her life. So I don't know, that kind of thing, I guess, has changed a lot in our culture too, like what people are willing to put up with at jobs.
She sells her soul to the devil when she put on her first pair of Jimmy Choo's, like, of course.
Yes. It sounds like you like this movie a lot more than I do, BJ. What do you like about it?
Oh yeah, I love this movie. This is absolutely a time capsule of 2006. You're not wrong about that at all. And that's part of why I love it, because, you know, this is just a movie that the way that the world works has changed so dramatically. And this is a reminder that this is how it used to be. And to pretend that it wasn't is ahistorical. Mm-hmm. I think that Miranda Priestly is one of the most like fun performances that Meryl Streep has ever had, because she's just atrocious in all the ways that I love, in a way that resonates very highly with me as a gay person. Like, this is like evil hot older woman that just screams like, this is for the gays, and it is. That is why this so many of us love this movie. But I also really, really love the relationship between not even a relationship, just like the constant conflict between Anne Hathaway and Emily Blunt, and how they are always kind of like getting these little one-liners in that I love, because it's a type of cruelty that women are usually not afforded in movies, where it is very overt and on its face, and it's not trying to be like sneaky or sly, but it's very clever. And I like that very, very much. This is an endlessly quotable movie. I'm sorry, do you have some prior commitment, some hideous skirt convention you have to go to?
Yeah, there's some pretty great one-liners.
Oh my god, it's like, it's absolutely incredible. But no, I love this movie, and I'm very excited to see what the intended sequel that they've announced is going to look like, because the world has changed so much, and because a lot of these sorts of workplace environments do not exist in this way anymore. Like, what does that look like in 2024? That I think is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I'm really curious for those same reasons. So I'm sure we'll be talking about that when that movie eventually comes out. I don't even think they're in production yet, but I think they announced it recently. So keep an eye out for that. If you want to watch The Devil Wears Prada, it's streaming on Max right now. I also caught up with Fly Me to the Moon, which is still in theaters. Have you seen this yet?
I have not seen this one yet because it seemed like people talked about it for about 6 hours and then didn't talk about it again, so I forgot about it.
Yeah, it basically like did not perform very well at all in its opening weekend because it's an Apple movie and like Apple paid all this money to the stars up front and their business model is like a whole different thing. We've talked about that in the podcast before. But I thought this movie had a very, very slow start. I was worried for the first few minutes because several of what were supposed to be jokes just did not land for me at all. And I was like, oh no, am I in for one of those experiences where I'm just like sitting here for 2 hours completely stone-faced because I'm not on the same wavelength comedy-wise as a comedy? But ultimately, I was pretty charmed by this movie. It was great to see Scarlett Johansson actually enjoying herself in a performance, which I feel like has been a rarity over the past 10 years or something. Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen her just like really laughing and being charming and all of that, and not being like this, I don't know, dour. I guess she was laughing and charming a little bit in like Jojo Rabbit, but like the rest of that movie.
Happy parts of A Marriage Story.
Yeah. The rest of that movie around her and Marriage Story as well are like kind of bleak. So it was nice to see her in a movie that is just like light and fun and frothy and just kind of like amusing. So I really enjoyed seeing her in this role and really hope to see her more in that mode in future projects as well. I'm a little bit more torn about Channing Tatum's casting. Like his essence is so much like a modern goober that it was just kind of sometimes tough to buy him as this very important NASA guy in the 1960s. But like aesthetically, he does kind of look like old photos of my granddad or something, you know? So like, I guess he kind of fits that, the look that they were going for in this movie. But yeah, I had a good time with this. Fly Me to the Moon. It's in theaters right now. It's coming to Apple TV Plus eventually. I would say check it out if you're looking for something like very easy to watch and, you know, with beautiful people wandering around, some good jokes mixed in there too. So good stuff. The last movie that I watched that I wanted to mention is from 1961. It's called Cash on Demand. Have you ever heard of this, BJ?
Is this a Peter Cushing movie?
It is, yes.
Okay, I have not seen this, but I know that it exists because I'm trying to watch every Peter Cushing movie. It's taken me like 10 years.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. The dude was pretty prolific, to say the least. But I would love to know what you think about this. And I hope that this little castle review here is going to get you to bump it up in your list of things to see. So this is a Hammer film from the early 60s, which I didn't realize. So that's kind of a cool thing. Obviously, Peter Cushing, a staple of the Hammer horror movies. But this is more of a thriller. It is it's also a Christmas movie, which was new to me. I had no idea. So that's kind of a fun thing that maybe people could add to their rotation that way. The IMDb description of this movie says, a charming but ruthless criminal holds the family of a bank manager hostage as part of a cold-blooded plan to steal £97,000. And Peter Cushing plays the bank manager. And this movie pulls off this really neat trick of making you kind of hate his character because the story begins a couple days before Christmas, and his employees are excited about throwing a Christmas party at the office, and the bank manager is this no-nonsense Scrooge type who seems to hate anything even remotely associated with fun. He treats his employees pretty badly, and he's like incredibly anal about things in the bank, like the pens being offered to the customers. He thinks they have to be like just so, you know? So you're just like, Jesus, calm down, man. Like lighten up a little bit. But then a bank robber shows up and basically pulls him into a back room to reveal the scheme of what he wants to do to rob this bank. And he convinces him to help by calling his home and revealing that there are men at the bank manager's house who are going to kill his family if he doesn't cooperate. And there are all kinds of like tense situations throughout. And I thought this movie was really fantastic all the way up until the last couple of minutes where the story just kind of ends. But even though it doesn't stick the landing, I absolutely think this is worth watching. It's available for streaming on Prime Video and Tubi right now. It's called Cash on Demand. BJ, I would love to know what you think about this if you get a chance to watch it in the next few weeks or something.
Maybe I definitely want to check this out because yeah. I also love a Hammer film. So
yeah, it was great. I think it was based on a play originally. So it has this really sort of like tight quarters, like one location kind of vibe to it that that really, really works well for what they're trying to do here. So yeah, Cash on Demand. It was brand new to me and I really, really enjoyed watching that. Let's take a break and then we'll come back and get into what BJ's been watching.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
All right, BJ, what have you been watching?
Alrighty. So the first thing is that are you familiar with the Dropout Network or Dropout.tv?
No, I don't know what this is.
Okay, so Dropout is what College Humor became. It has its own streaming service. They have all original programming. They also do like some occasional like comedy specials as well. But mostly their big like flagship programs are things like Dimension 20, which is like D&D, like all like real play kind of thing. They also have Game Changer, which is a game show where every single episode is a different game show and they don't know what they're playing until they show up. They have an improv show that spun off of that called Make Some Noise. That is absolutely fantastic. There's another one that branched off of Game Changer called Dirty Laundry, which is basically like competitive, you know, Never Have I Ever, where they try to guess each other's secrets. There's a game called Thousandaires, where each person is given $1,000 to spend in whatever way they want as like a group activity. And then whoever has like the funniest one wins. So everybody who works on this is like incredibly smart and also very funny and very entertaining. And I'm working on a piece, a long form piece for Slash Film that will come out, you know, a long time from this recording. But I have been watching everything on Dropout. And some of these shows, like Game Changer, have like 6 seasons of it. And yet I have watched all of it at this point. I'm currently making my way through their news show they do, where everybody is pretending like it's a news show, but they have no idea what's going to come across their teleprompter until they say it. And if you lose, like if you laugh, you lose, like you lose a point. I am so addicted. It's like a sickness. It's become a sickness. I watch it whenever I possibly can. I'm getting other people into it. Full disclosure, I do know a couple of people who are part of like the extended Dropout universe. Like Josh Rubin, who is like a College Humor guy who now, you know, directs like Werewolves Within, and he's currently directing Hard Eyes, like a new horror movie that's coming out. Like he's a big part of it. Ify Wadiwe, who's a comedian I love, he's a big part of it. Brennan Lee Mulligan, who everybody knows through like D&D stuff, he's a big part of it. Like there's so many incredible like personalities that have come from this that you start to fall in love with the people in a way that like hasn't really existed since like Hollywood Squares. Like it's so weird because they'll bring in comedians and, you know, improv people and sometimes like internet personalities, but mostly like every show is run by the same like core pool of people, so you get to know like all of their isms and their personalities, and they will curate games to like who's going to be on there that week. And it makes such an incredible viewing experience. And it helps that everybody who works there is a fucking dork. So they will bust out references to movies that like only like movie people would really understand and love. I'm obsessed with it. This is not like an ad for Dropout, but like, it's so good, and I don't understand why there aren't more people who love film and television and fantasy and D&D and all kinds of geeky stuff not watching Dropout, because it is everything we've ever wanted. They have a show called Actually, where the entire point is someone says a fact and you correct them by going, actually, it's this, and that's how you win points. Like, it's incredible.
I've never heard of this in my life. As you were talking, I was looking it up to see if this was like a TV channel or like what it even is. And it appears to be Dropout.tv is a website where you can watch the stuff. And then also looks like it has like a big YouTube presence. Is that how you were watching it?
Yeah, there's a big YouTube presence, but they have their own streaming service. So like if you have like a smart TV, you can download the Dropout app. I think it's $5.99 a month, I want to say. So like it's on the cheaper side for sure, but you can watch everything that they've ever put out. And that is absolutely what I am doing. But they've been picking up a lot of steam recently because this year they did make a play for the Emmys in like game show. They were trying to get Game Changer to get an Emmy. I don't think that's going to happen for a couple of years because just the TV Academy is not going to want to play nice with not just a streaming service, but a streaming service that is independent from everything.
Yeah.
So that's going to take a while, but it absolutely deserves to be in the conversation. Sam Reich, who is kind of like the daddy of Dropout, so to speak, hosts a lot of the shows. He's been a part of College Humor forever. He bought, like, you know, into College Humor when it looked like it was going to shut down and turned it into Dropout. Yeah, it rules. It's like, it is geek haven. Everybody would love it. And if you want like a taste of it, they are very active on YouTube and TikTok, where they will, and Instagram, like with the reels with little clips that should, like, if those don't sell you on it, then like you're not gonna like it, but those clips are all you need.
Okay, amazing. Wow. Yeah, this is great. I've never heard of this, so this is a perfect recommendation. So hopefully this will be a way to get the word out and sort of help boost some popularity on this. That's awesome. What else have you been watching, PJ?
So the other thing that I watched is a movie called A Gun for Jennifer. Do you know what this is?
Never heard of this one either.
So A Gun for Jennifer is a rape revenge movie that was very hard to find for many, many years. It like came out and then just went away and no one knew how to find it. But luckily, Vinegar Syndrome recently restored it. It is so gritty and edgy and bold in ways that movies today just are not. Like, it is so unapologetically violent, but all of the violence is very justified. Obviously, content and trigger warnings abound because it is a rape revenge movie, but it kicks so much ass. And I can't believe that it took me this long to actually see it.
It looks like 1997 is when this was originally released. Yeah, I've never heard of this in my life, but what do you think it was about the movie that, was it just like one of those things where it was like a festival release and it just didn't ever get picked up for distribution by like a major company or something, and that's why it kind of fell into this state of anonymity?
So the research that I was doing, it looks like one of like the production companies or distribution houses, it just was one of those things where like the company went under and then, you know, things didn't get released and people tried to sue for it to get it released. And then it just, it wasn't seen as like valuable because it's such a niche film. So then it just kind of disappeared for a while. Mm. The lead actress in it, I have to look up her name. Hold on one second.
Deborah Twiss, it looks like.
Thank you. Yeah. So Deborah Twiss in this, she has continued to act throughout her career doing like little bits and pieces. The easiest one that people... This is going to be like a horrible description, but the teacher in Kick-Ass that he like fantasizes about, that's her.
Okay.
So this is like her big movie. This was her baby. She was involved every step of the way in the process of writing it, making it. She stars in it. She's great. But yeah, this movie is like, we're living in a world right now where all I want is to scream about how horrible people are to women and anyone else that identifies with like a marginalized gender or exists with a marginalized gender, I should say. And this movie makes me like, it gives me an outlet for all of like the rage I have in my body that has nowhere to go. It's very cathartic to watch this movie. It's really, really good because it's not just a solo rape revenge thing. It's about like a group of women who bound together and they're like, oh, if you're a rapist, we're gonna kill you. And it's great. Oh, it's great.
Okay, so the movie is called A Gun for Jennifer and it's available on like physical media right now. Is that how you watch it, right?
On Vinegar Syndrome.
Okay, excellent. And then you fired up a double feature recently too, right?
Yes. So, I mean, speaking of Josh Rubin of Dropout, I did a double feature of Werewolves Within and Cry Wolf. I have a friend named Caitlin Tyrrell who writes over at Screen Rant, who is not much of a horror buff. And so once a week, I introduce her to horror movies or like genre movies that I think that she'll like that are not going to like give her nightmares or something. And she's also a big Dropout fan. And I was like, well, did you know that Josh Rubin made this great movie called Werewolves Within? That is, to my knowledge, still the highest ranking video game movie adaptation, whereas The Last of Us has the TV show. And so we watched that and you know, for those who haven't seen it, it's plays like the game Werewolf or Werewolves Within or Mafia or whatever, where there's a werewolf on the loose and people are trying to figure out who did it, who's the werewolf. Mm-hmm. And after watching that, I had this thought about the movie Cry Wolf, which is Jeff Wadlow's directorial debut. It is my personal favorite of all of his movies. I am also a staunch defender of Cry Wolf. And I don't know if you know this. Do you know that Cry Wolf had a companion game when it came out?
No, I had no idea.
Okay, so Cry Wolf also same sort of plot device of like it's just Mafia but a horror movie, like the card game Mafia but a horror movie. But when Cry Wolf came out, they had a promotional thing with AOL Instant Messenger because it was the 2000s. And what you would do is you would go in this like group chat room and they would assign you, you know, either you're a wolf or either you're, you know, an innocent. And you would have to then try to figure out who's the wolf and vote them out. And it was all interactive. It's very similar to Among Us, like a lot of those types of games. But this is a very early example of it. But when I was in high school, I was in a program called the Tech Academy, which meant that I used a laptop for like all of my core classes during the day, which also meant that I had unfiltered access to play the Cry Wolf game during my school days all the time. And I ended up becoming like a kingpin. I got like all of my classmates involved in it. We would rig the game all the time just to like piss people off because we were shithead teenagers, to the point where AOL banned me from playing the Cry Wolf game at one point because I was just like, I was a monster and they figured it out. They're like, that's the ringleader. We got her.
What a claim to fame. BJ,
I know. And like, and the thing is, like, there's like no evidence really of this game existing anymore other than like a forgotten internet subreddit and people begging for them to bring this game back. And so I do have screenshots that prove this game existed. I swear to God I played this game. But yeah, I definitely got banned from it. But it was a great double feature to watch these two movies that are entirely different in tone. They're coming out 20 years apart, but they have essentially the same structure in that there is something going on and it's a mystery and we're trying to figure out who did it, and it's very much based on like the Mafia or Werewolf card game. And it was just like a fun exercise to watch them both together. We did decide that Werewolves Within is the better movie because it is. It's just a better movie. But Cry Wolf is still great, and John Bon Jovi is a teacher in it, and that's always good.
Okay, excellent. Cry Wolf and Werewolves Within are the name of the movies there. All right, a couple more categories that we want to touch on here. What have you been eating recently?
Because I live in the Golden State of California, I have access to Jack in the Box, which means I've been eating the Deadpool menu at Jack in the Box because it is very delicious and I'm kind of upset about it.
Okay, so what does the Deadpool menu consist of exactly?
Okay, so they consist of these little fried like chimichanga things. They're like little teeny tiny chimichangas. I don't know how else to describe them. And you can get them loaded or you can get them, you know, unloaded. It's very, very delicious though. And they're just fried, delicious goodness. And then there's also like chicken and waffle like box things. Like you can get a little box and it'll come with like three waffle sticks and then some like fried chicken strips. And they are so, so delicious. I can't stop eating them. It's a problem. Like, it's a problem how good it is. Like, Jack in the Box chicken strips are fine. I'm a little bit of a chicken strip snob, but whatever they're doing differently for this Deadpool menu, incredible. Like, it's so good.
I wonder how long they're going to keep the Deadpool menu. I mean, this movie is obviously going to make a ton of money and is going to be like a big deal for a while. But I wonder if like, I mean, it seems like your days are numbered there, BJ, in terms of these items being on the menu.
It's going to go away and I'm going to be really sad about it. And the funny thing, too, is that it doesn't have anything to do with the movie at all, in the same sense that if you go to like the Coca-Cola Freestyle machines, when you go and see Deadpool and Wolverine, there are like Deadpool and Wolverine like flavors, and they don't have anything to do with the movie. They just make the drink match the color of the suit. Like that's it. That's the big connection there. Like there's no secret plot in Deadpool and Wolverine about chicken and waffles, so you don't have to worry about that being a spoiler or anything like that.
Well, you've just spoiled a huge component of the movie for me. Now I know what's not in it, BJ. Thanks a lot for that. So.
Yeah, so sorry to tell you that there are not chicken and waffles on on the movie at any point.
Okay, let's get into what we've been playing. I think it was last Friday, EA Sports released College Football 25, which is the first EA Sports, like NCAA football official video game in, I think, over 10 years, or right around 10 years anyway. It looks like NCAA football 2014 was the last one. So I was a big fan of these games, like growing up and even playing in college and stuff like that, just like hanging out, you know, late nights with roommates, just battling back and forth, that whole deal. Part of the reason that I bought a PS5 at the very end of last year was because I knew this game was coming. So I, of course, got this game and have been playing it a little bit here and there ever since it came out. And I just wanted to say real quick that it has not been disappointing so far. It's really impressive, and it looks great, and it's much harder than I remembered. I think, I don't know, maybe like there's a difference between, I'm not like a huge gamer, so there are probably other podcasts you can listen to that go deep on differences between something like this and like a Madden football game or whatever. To me, who's somebody who's been playing Madden occasionally, like just for fun in the past, over the past 10 years, like to get my fix of football games every now and again, this game seems much, much more difficult to actually like complete long passes and things like that. So anyway, it's just a really fun game. If you care about this stuff at all, you probably already know this, that this game is out, and my two cents are not going to sway you one way or the other, but I'm having a lot of fun with EA Sports College Football 25. So what have you been playing, BJ?
All right. So if you're listening to the show and you've been listening for a while, y'all know that I still play Neopets well into my 30s. And right now is the newest like site-wide plot. This happens every like couple years or so, where usually it's their way of like introducing a new world or, you know, a new paintbrush color for your pets. They will do this like very long form storytelling plot that deals with like the entire game. So right now is the Void Within plot. So there's like a comic that gets updated every day that's like giving you the story to go around. There's different daily things I have to do every day. Like I have to capture all these like void pieces. I can either have my pets volunteer at the hospital because there's like a site-wide battle, and like, cause you can battle your pets in Neopets. People forget that all the time. But I have, you know, my pets are volunteering at the hospital because, I never train my pets for battle because that's usually not my interest point. So then I tried to have my pets go battle these like void creatures, and they got their asses kicked like very quickly. And I was like, okay, well, this is not my ministry. My ministry will be a cleric. I will help out at the hospital and take care of all the other pets that are getting their asses kicked.
Did your pets have to go to the hospital after that battle?
I took my pet to the healing springs where the water fairy is, and she heals with magic waters. So I did naturally. That, you know, of course. So I did that instead, and then, you know, I have now stockpiled different healing potions so that I can take care of them when I get adventurous and decide, oh, what if they fought? No, they shouldn't fight. My babies are here to nurture. They are not here for battle.
Sounds like you're doing the good work there, PJ. That's awesome.
But it is very fun because it is, you know, this moment where, because there's so many different routes that you can take when you play Neopets, because it is such like an open game. But everybody is kind of on the same page where it's like, oh, did you do your daily things? Did you do your things yet? And I don't know. It's really nice to like have that sense of weird online community with strangers that I had in like the early 2000s when I first started playing around on the internet, because now everything is so like social media based, where mm-hmm. it's like there are people that are like on my team that it's like, I don't know who any of you are. I have no idea anything about you, but we're in it together. And I don't know. It's like it's weirdly comforting to know that is happening.
That's great. There's a movie called Evelyn that I saw at Sundance earlier this year that I talked about a little bit on the podcast. I think it's coming to Netflix before the end of this year. I'm not sure what the release date is, but it taps into that sense of community that you're talking about. So if you're looking for sort of like a vaguely movie related idea of or version of what BJ is talking about, keep this movie Evelyn on your radar for when that comes out. So Cool. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for today's episode of the show. You can find more about a lot of the things that we talked about at slashfilm.com and linked inside the show notes for today's episode. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really does help us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.